Morning, guys. How you doing?
Skip, how you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks. Appreciate you having me.
You know what? I have a question. Like, you haven't really had a whole lot of time to, like, digest everything that has gone on in your life. Have you had a chance to, like, take a breath? I mean, going from, like, being the manager, getting paid, got paid a couple months ago, and now being the manager of the year. Have you had a chance to, like, take it all in just yet?
Well, a good point. It seems like it never stops, you know. But I have. I mean, I say there are times in the evenings I sit in the chair and everybody's in bed and kind of reflect a little bit. But man, you know, if you're right, there's something going on all the time. But it's a good feeling, though.
Ryan Snicker joining John and Hugh. You know, Ronald Acuna wins Rookie of the Year. You win Manager of the Year. You guys, obviously, you can have that little moment with your awards. What a magical run for you, as Hugh was talking about. I guess I kind of want to know about whether you do pinch yourself at times that this has actually happened.
Yeah, I do. I was talking about that last night, that there are times where I look around and I'm thinking, man, you're managing a game in Dodger Stadium, or, you know, you're in Wrigley Field managing a game here. And I do pinch myself all the time. I mean, this is an unbelievable opportunity. I could say there's 30 of these jobs in the world, and I got one of them. So it is kind of it's very surreal a lot of the time that I kind of sit back and actually digest what I'm doing.
You know, we're talking to Brian Snicker. We talked about Ronald Acuna and the Rookie of the Year. Skip, can you tell me a little bit about what you see in his future? Now that he's won a Rookie of the Year, a lot of us are expecting, us Braves fans are saying, you know, what's ahead for this guy?
I mean, I think the sky's the limit. I mean, it's this kid is so talented. The skill set is just off the charts. He's a very intelligent kid, got a great disposition, loves to play the game. And he's still learning. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, this kid already won an award, and he's going to get better. I mean, there's still things he has to work at. You know, they're going to adjust to him. He's already shown that he's capable of doing that. I mean, he made adjustments when he first got up here. And he's a very, like I say, he's got a great baseball feel, instinct, and the whole thing. So it's just, I got a feeling that he's going to need a big trophy room before he's done.
Oh, there's no question about that. But, Skip, at what point of the season did you feel like your team could be something pretty special?
Well, that's a good question because, you know, I was running around with blinders the first couple of months, and I was, you know, I was real hesitant about, you know, and I kept asking myself, you know, are we real? I mean, we were playing so good. I wondered if we were strong enough. It was, I don't know, there wasn't a defining moment, but like you say, there was just, it was a time that, because we had two or three situations or two or three stretches in the season where it's like, if we can do this or we can hold this off or we can survive this run, then we're going to be okay. And you know what? We did. I mean, we went on a tough road trip and survived it and came back home. And it's like, you know what, we got a tough run right now with the no days off and doubleheaders and things like that. And if we can survive this run, you know, we'll be okay. And there was just probably 2.5 months into it, all of a sudden I thought, you know what, we're real. We're a really good club.
Skip, I have to ask, because my partner over here, I'm telling you, every week, if you know how baseball ebbs and flows, there were some times when, you know, you're a little bit of a, you know, you had a little bit of losing streak. He would be all up in his feelings. But as the manager, how do you keep an even keel, and how do you not get too high or too low when certain things go on?
Well, that's probably one of the toughest parts of the job. I mentioned here in the Boston game ripped our hearts out, and then we're going on a West Coast trip that typically is really tough to do. And we, you know, that showed the character of this team. We went out and had a 6-1 road trip after, you know, the gut-wrenching loss to the Red Sox. But I think you always have to remember that there's tomorrow, and there are going to be tough times. And I always tell the players, if there's always good on the back end of those rough times, if you handle it, if you don't start pointing fingers, if you take accountability and you get through those rough spells, there's good on the other end of that when you handle those types of situations. And, you know, they're going to look to me, too, as a manager. I got to kind of, if I get reactionary and I'm up and down and all over the map, I mean, they're going to sense that. So as a manager, I have to be the kind of the force there, the even keel force for those guys.
So, Skip, I feel like we kind of know each other right now. I think we bonded a little bit. So I'm going to ask, how tough was it to set that pitching matchup during the playoffs? How tough was it to make that lineup?
It was tough. I mean, and there was a lot that went into it. I mean, there was a lot of hours put into who do you go with, who do you start. I mean, that's rough. I mean, because we had a lot of really good options. I mean, you just plan and try and do the best you can and stay as prepared as you can. And I think we did a good job with that. I mean, we just ran into a really strong team. I mean, those guys are built to do what they were doing. I mean, and so it was. We knew it wasn't going to be easy, but we've been through tough spots before. But it is. There's a lot of work that goes in. A lot of banter in the room. There's everybody having get their ideas out there, and it's tough.
Brian Snicker's the new NL Manager of the Year, joining John and Hugh on the WayForward.com hotline. Well, here we go into the offseason, Skip. You talk. One of the things you said about the up and down that Hugh asked you about. Is that you kept saying all year long, this clubhouse believes in itself, this clubhouse believes in itself, and there was something special, and you can talk to that about the clubhouse and how you want to make adjustments going forward and not upset what you had in terms of that vibe internally in that clubhouse.
Well, you're absolutely right. I mean, that was one of the strengths of this club, I think, was the makeup of this team. I mean, we had a really solid, good group of core veteran players in that room that the boring pros, I call them, that know how to do it and how to approach it every day. And we had an influx of some really good adrenaline in those young players that huge, big emotion, a lot of energy, enthusiasm that rubbed off on all of us. And it was just, it's something I called it that some teams have it. You don't know how you get it. You can't manufacture it, but when a club has it, it's something special, and those guys had it, and they have had for a while. I mean, the results in previous years weren't what we wanted, but it wasn't for lack of effort. It wasn't for lack of preparation, work, the whole thing, so it's that clubhouse bond is really good, and I think we have such a good core group of guys that if we bring in other players, they're going to sense that, and they're going to fit right in.
Well, of course, we're talking with Brian Snicker. Final thing for me, Skip, is that everybody said you were a year ahead of schedule last year. Well, here comes this year. With success breeds expectations. Now you have set me, 43rd year as a Braves fan, up for my expectations of next year, and you know what you got to live up to.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, that comes with it. I mean, and I don't mind that at all. I'd rather have that than the other. And, and I'm hoping the players, when they felt, I'm hoping that the feelings that they had over the course of this year, when we clinched that division and the excitement of the playoffs, that when they're working out in the off season, they remember that. When we get to spring training, we talked about it last year. Now we're going to have to live it, and it's going to be a real thing, and we're going to have to work that much harder, and we're not going to sneak up on anybody anymore. And like you say, we're going to be expected to do well, and that's okay because that's kind of where you want this thing to be.
Well, congratulations again, Brian Snicker, NL Manager of the Year.
I appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
That, of course, a well-deserved honor for Brian Snicker as he gets the second major honor for the Atlanta Braves in this offseason. Rookie of the Year going to Ronald Acuna, Manager of the Year to Brian Snicker. And then you had Mike Foltynewicz finish in the top 10 of the Cy Young voting. And
that's not bad.
No,
it's not bad at all. Not bad at all.
Silver Slugger to Nick Markakis, Gold Gloves to Markakis and Inciarte and Freddie Freeman. A lot of honors. Now we want to get a title again because we only have the one in 1995. Let's win a World Series, which led to a spirited argument. Welcome back to the Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Spirited debate, not an argument, about the Hot Stove League that I had on my Twitter last night with a number of fans about ESPN proposed a trade, and we were going back and forth about whether the trade would be good. Largely, I think that the Braves, Hugh, in this Hot Stove League, are going to have money to spend. That's the good thing.
Yeah. And I think the biggest thing, John, not to cut you off, but I think the biggest thing right now is to make sure that you spend the money the right way,
mm-hmm.
because I think that's what that's going to be the biggest issue. Because, there's been some names out there, some big name free agents that have been discussed as a part of maybe the Braves are looking at. But I think the biggest thing is going to be to get the right guys to fit into what you're already trying to build into your locker room. I think that's important.
Mm-hmm,
you don't want to. You don't want to. You want to. You want to get a good player, but you want to get somebody that also fits into the core values of what you want your locker room to be. I think that's just as important, because you know we're talking about the biggest thing that comes to mind right now is in the news is Jimmy Butler going to the Philadelphia 76ers. And a lot of people are talking about how great it is for on the court, but off the court, a lot of people, like, it's not a big deal, but there is some concern with how they're going to mesh together in the locker room because of Joel Embiid's there's a lot of big personalities. And I just want to point out one person, but there's a lot of big personalities in that locker room.
Right, exactly. And that's the knock against Bryce Harper. I mean, I don't know that that's true or not, but if you look at Washington underachieving with the talent that they have, there are some people that believe that the Nationals will actually be a better team next year without Bryce Harper. Well, that kind of makes you think, you know, I mean, if Dusty Baker couldn't get it done and Dave Martinez couldn't get it done, maybe it's not the manager. Maybe it's the other guy. Maybe it's this guy.
I will say this, though. If that was the sentiment, they wouldn't have offered him that kind of money.
Well, that's the other part of that.
Yeah. Right? I mean, you know, like, management might be looking at it one way. Like, you know, like, well, the players might be looking at it one way, mm-hmm. but the manager's looking at it a totally different way. And they were feeling like, hey, man, we need this guy. So there's that as well.
Well, he turned down 10 years and $300 million from Washington. I'm not really so much interested in Bryce Harper, even though I know you need a corner outfielder. I think if I was going to spend a whole boatload of money, I'd rather go after Manny Machado.
He might be a guy that might fit well into this locker room. And that might be a guy that you could definitely be here, but there were some reports out there during the season that he was potentially going to get more money than Bryce Harper.
Right. So I mean, I don't know how much you spend if you're not really going to go out and make a big trade for a starter or try and acquire a starter. Free agent starters, there are a couple of decent ones, but if you're not, because look, you've got so many arms in the remember Mike Soroka's coming back. You have Tuki Toussaint. You have a ton of arms in Gwinnett that are major league ready. Kyle Wright and on and on. You have so many options with your starting rotation that even if you get rid of Julio Teheran and you want to go with at least to start the season with a starting rotation of the Sean Newcombs of the world and maybe Tuki Toussaint and Mike Soroka and all the young players that you have in your rotation, I think you're going to be okay, at least to start the year. Let's rebuild the bullpen. That's a priority, right? That's a priority. And then corner outfielder is a priority as well. So it'll be really interesting to see what Alex Anthopoulos does, because he does have the money to go out and make some big moves. He might have $75, $80 million, Hugh, a year. That's a lot of cash.
Yeah. I mean, but you have to do it the right way, John. I think that, you know, we're both of a consensus that it's not just one move you need to make. It's a few. And in order to make a few moves, you can't give all your money to one person. You got to kind of be smart about the way that you build this thing. And I think that's how they're going to kind of approach this thing moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
Because we talked about how they needed to get a stronger arm in that pitching rotation. You're talking about outfielder. And, you know, for somebody that you were complaining about here, Johan Camargo kind of came around, but you might even want to get somebody at third base.
Or if you believe in Austin Riley, yeah. the youngster there. You know, the other the position to me, I don't know what Alex Anthopoulos means by corner outfielder. Does he mean we're going to part with Nick Markakis? I think that's what everybody's thinking. And you would have Ender Inciarte in center. You would move Acuna to right and then fill in left field with some kind of a power hitter. I guess that's what you're saying. I mean, in theory, you could move Acuna to center, keep Markakis, and get rid of Inciarte. I don't know what they're thinking. Maybe they're thinking, let's see what the trade market and value is for a guy like Inciarte. Because if you're going to bat Acuna leadoff anyway, you may be able to move Ender. Catcher's another thing. I mean, could you get JT Realmuto from the Marlins? That would be a frontline catcher, because if you're not going to bring Zouk back, and they're not, Tyler Flowers, to me, I'm not sure that he – I mean, they paid him a lot of money, but are you really sold that Tyler Flowers as a starting catcher?
Has that been confirmed that you're not bringing back Kurt?
That's pretty much – I mean, it's pretty much. I mean, he's a free agent. He's, what, 30?
I mean, but that – they might – but they probably like the Tubular too. I'm just asking because, I mean, I think that – you're going to make some moves, but at the same time, I'm kind of like a core group kind of guy, and I think the two platoon kind of worked well for them.
Well,
I know
did,
he's a
he
little
did.
Bit older, early, mm-hmm. older, but I'm kind of like try to keep as much of your core as you possibly can.
Like I say, I think it's going to be a fascinating hot stove league for the Atlanta Braves. A lot of fun to sit here and do a lot of speculation and debate who they should go after, you know, what kind of trades they might make. Do they trade some of their young stars who, like an Austin Riley, whom, if you believe in Camargo, Austin Riley doesn't have much of a spot right now anyway. He's kind of blocked on the way up. Or if you're going to keep Austin Riley, hopefully, and, you know, see what he does in 2 years. Or maybe, who knows, maybe even next year. A lot to chop up when we get back. The NFL. They were cleaning out Le'Veon's locker, and they were taking all his stuff. That's next.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Our Atlanta United have advanced to the Eastern Conference Finals. Catch all the action of the first leg Sunday the 25th. Free game at 4:30, kickoff at 5. Our Atlanta United play here.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Here we go tonight, the National Football League, Green Bay Packers, Seattle Seahawks. Coverage of the game on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game will actually be on our sister station, 1380 WAOK, beginning at 8 between the Pack and the Seahawks. And we're not really sure yet who's going to win. Welcome back to the show with John and Hugh. We're not also sure who we're rooting for either. Packers are 4-4-1, and Seattle's 4-5.
I'm rooting for a good pass rush.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. I'm really not – I don't really have a dog in the race. So I'm just rooting for an interesting game at least. For at least two quarters, because I don't think I'm going to be able to get them all four tonight. I'm going to be able to do that.
Yeah, but you know what happens when the Packers rush passers, they get, you know, all these penalties, you know, for, you know, like tackling them.
Now, that was early in the season. That was early in the season. Not so much now.
Yeah, that has kind of stopped.
Because everybody's adjusted. Everybody's adjusted. Everybody in the NFL is scoring at least 21 points and above. And I mean, you think about it. Most offenses are probably, if you ran the offensive numbers, everybody's offense is probably more efficient than it was a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it really is when you think about that. And the NFL has gotten what they wanted. This is the first year that I can think of, John, where, you know, like you usually could watch games and tell who had the better defense in the NFL. Say like at the beginning of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Jacksonville skewed as probably one of the better defenses in the NFL. Not so much. You have to go through. You can't look at the teams that are winning and say that they have good defenses. You can't do that this year. You have to go look and see. You have to go actually look at the stat sheet and see where the better defenses are. I would venture to say, John, that some of the better defenses are teams that don't really have – some of them don't really have a winning record or like just a little bit above 500. That's crazy to me because it usually used to be like a good defense – go hand-in-hand with a good offense, or, you know, it's a little bit more balanced. This year, your offenses are carrying a lot of teams this year.
Including the L.A. Rams, who are, you know, haven't been great defensively, despite the fact that they happen to have guys like Aaron Donald and Ndamukong Suh and the Kansas City Chiefs, whose defense has been awful, and yet both teams are 9-1. They're going to play Monday night at the Coliseum in Los Angeles because that game was moved. And by the way, to that, and I noticed this, Hugh, on StubHub right now, tickets for that game are off the hook. You can't get into the building for under $150.
You know what's funny? Let me tell you what's funny about that. And Daryl know where I'm going to go with this. What was it, D, just about 2 years ago? They couldn't give away tickets to an L.A. Ram game. Like, couldn't give them away. You would look in the stands, and nobody would be at the games. L.A. is just so fascinating to me when it comes to things like that. Now they're head-cracking folks for tickets. Like between the two teams, the LA Chargers and the Rams are winning. I mean, winning helps, but when you look at it, the Rams aren't the Chargers aren't that far behind. They're winning too, but it's like it's all about the Rams right now.
Yeah, what if it's a Rams Chargers Super Bowl?
It's not going to be that, John. Stop it.
Daryl just went. It could be. You never know, Daryl.
It's not.
Well, they're 16-3. Those two teams to combined.
I can't. Nah. I mean, I'm not hating on the Chargers.
Los Angeles versus Los Angeles at Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
Guess who has the best defense in the NFL, John? I bet you'd never guess in a million years.
Probably not.
Number one defense in the NFL.
Minnesota Vikings.
Baltimore Ravens.
Oh, okay. Well, we're going to see them in a couple of weeks.
No, I'm just saying, think about that for a minute, though.
Yeah, I mean,
Baltimore
I guess
Ravens.
It makes sense. Baltimore's had a pretty stout defense. You want to talk about a team that got no offense?
Baltimore Ravens are 4-5, John.
Yeah.
Baltimore Ravens are 4-5.
Right, I know.
Got the number one defense in the NFL.
Well, the number one offense in the NFL belongs to the Pittsburgh Steelers because in their locker room, their offense went crazy yesterday. They were scoring all kinds of points in Le'Veon Bell's locker. I mean, it was just it was a raid of Le'Veon's locker. They're taking everything. They're taking his shoes. They're taking his jewelry. Well, I don't know if there's any jewelry in it, but whatever he left, oh, it was up for grabs, and they were going after it. Ben Roethlisberger texted Bell yesterday because, you know, he's no longer a Pittsburgh Steeler, and he ain't coming back.
He's not here. He's not going to be here, so we don't talk about it. I texted him yesterday before the deadline, asking him, text him, tell him, hope he was going to show up. And if he decided not to, I wish him nothing but the best. He was a great teammate, a great football player. You know, to each their own on what they want to walk away from.
No, well, he ain't going to be back. The only question is, what teams are going to be on next year?
Well, and how they're going to go about getting rid of him. I mean, that's the thing. But I think it's a consensus with Ben basically giving him his farewell like that, that he is gone. And, you know, the whole cleaning out the locker thing, I mean, that's kind of like the farewell for Le'Veon Bell.
Well, they're not going to tag him. They can't afford to.
Yeah. So this is like the farewell for Le'Veon Bell. It's just going to be interesting to see what kind of money he gets in free agency.
But you told me, because I think this is kind of interesting. Take me kind of like in there, because I saw this video and I'm going, man, look at this. He left all his stuff.
Yeah, you were all up in your fields
about
that.
Well, but I didn't know that this existed. This is a thing apparently, though.
Yeah, that's it. Like, listen, when you leave,
right,
you're gone. Like, especially if you don't clean out your locker's fair game. I mean, this happened to me. When I left Jacksonville, they took the stuff out of my locker on camera. They took my cologne. They took all of that. I mean, it's just because you're not coming back.
Yeah, and you didn't want to go back.
I didn't want to go back. When I walked out the locker room, when I walked back, what I did, John, I went home. I didn't even put my clothes in the suitcase. I put my clothes on the bed, Daryl, and I took the cover. And I wrapped my clothes up in the cover and threw them on my shoulder and threw them in the back of my truck. My Ram truck, by the way.
That's guy packing.
Hey, it just rolled out. And I grabbed, you know how you grab as many shoes as you can to carry? And had the wife, hey, babe, if you don't mind, it was like before season started, so everybody was in Atlanta. I said, hey, could you go down there and clean out that crib? Because I'm not setting foot back in Jacksonville. I'm out. And she went down there and she packed the house up and that was it. That was it. But that happens. And guys are like, oh, he gone? Oh, he leaving? Because they know, like, when you walk out that locker room, you're not coming back. Like, once you leave, you're gone. So anything that you leave in there is fair game. Shoes, clothes, personal items. Like, they don't ship it. That's gone.
All right, so he's going to be a free agent at the end of the year because Pittsburgh's not going to tag him. It's too much money. And besides, obviously, as they say, we know now, they don't want him back. He's gone. He's history. Question is, where is he going to play? And I think a lot of people are thinking that the New York Jets are going to, with a lot of money, are going to open the coffers for Le'Veon Bell. And that would make sense, wouldn't it, in some degree? New York Jets, Le'Veon Bell? I mean, he's going to go where the money is. He cannot go to a team and rightfully say, I'm here to win a ring. No. If you wanted to win a ring, you would have stayed in Pittsburgh. He's going to go, pay me the money.
New York? I could probably see that. Because that's you're talking about getting thrown a lot of money, but, boy, it's going to be a lot of pressure on him going to New York, playing in that environment. I mean, if that what makes him happy. Sometimes, you know, and it's a hard lesson to learn, and it's one that I wish that every person that is ever in that position gets to find out for themselves, is that money doesn't always make you happy.
Mm-hmm.
But I hope that he finds that out. I really do. And I say that with all sincerity because you know, it's one thing to be in a great position that he was in Pittsburgh and not being paid, but now he's about to find what it's like on the other side of that. He really is.
One other quick NFL note, Baltimore, because you brought him up, Ravens have the best defense in the NFL, but they have no offense. Joe Flacco's been terrible. There's a lot of talk about Lamar Jackson being elevated to the starting position for the Baltimore Ravens because John Harbaugh wants to try to save his job. All right, so here's Lamar Jackson talking about potentially being the starter for the Ravens against the Bengals.
I feel like I'll be very prepared. You know, I'm trying to smudge everything in. You know, I'm trying to learn the ins and outs. So whatever happens, it will happen.
You know, when Lamar Jackson came out of college at Louisville, I thought, you know, I'm not sure what kind of an NFL quarterback he's going to be. And I said, I'm not really sure. But the way the game has changed so dramatically and RPO has come into this thing, this really fits him. It's amazing to me, Hugh, you talk about the offenses. It's amazing to me how much the NFL and college football, which used to look so different, now looks so alike.
Yeah, you're talking about because John, the hardest position to scout in the NFL, for NFL, I should say, is quarterback. And we've seen, and you've even done it here, John. We'll look at a guy, and you are like, oh, my gosh, he's going to be a pretty good pro. And they come into the NFL, and they struggle because you're trying to fit a round peg into a square hole.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're telling this kid that's ran this wide-open offense, okay, now I want you to run this pro-style offense, but, you know, we're not going to have the RPO in it. We're just going to run it the way that I want it ran. And I think that what – coaches are starting to realize now, and quarterback coaches are, that in order for a young man to be successful playing that position, you have to put some plays in there that are familiar to him and that allow him to be successful, allow him to be comfortable. They did it with Cam Newton.
Mm-hmm.
They did it with Cam Newton in Carolina.
Mm-hmm. Russell Wilson.
They did it with him. They're doing it with Jared Goff and with the Rams.
Deshaun Watson.
Yeah. So it's easier for young quarterbacks to come in now and have success. And that learner curve not be so great. You know, back in the day when I played with the leather helmets, John, if you were a first-string quarterback, if you were a first-round quarterback, say like Aaron Rodgers, you didn't touch the field right away. You didn't touch the field right away. Quarterbacks aren't getting that luxury anymore. They're not really getting that luxury. The last one to do that is the one that we're seeing in Kansas City right now, Patrick Mahomes. He was the last one. He sat for a little while.
Sat for a year.
Yeah, but that's it. That's it. You know, some quarterbacks you sat for 2-3 years. That's it. You don't have that kind of time anymore, especially at that position.
By the way, our watch party on Sunday for the Falcons and Cowboys, the official watch party will be at Taco Mac Prado, just inside the perimeter off Roswell Road, starting at noon. A lot of prize giveaways and more. Taco Mac Prado starting at noon on Sunday. When we get back, the Hawks tonight, and what did LeBron do now? That's next with John and you on Sports Radio 92 on the Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The biggest Bulldog tailgate in Georgia. The Dog Days Championship Tailgate Party, December 1st. Join us as we celebrate from noon to 4 at the Tabernacle.
DeAndre Swift, 84 yards.
The SEC plays here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Week from today is Thanksgiving.
Thanks for the giving. What are you going to do? Well, I'm assuming you're cooking, right?
Well, I won't cook, no.
But you'll be in the kitchen helping, John. Don't act like you won't be in the kitchen helping. You're going to cook like the stuffed artichokes or something. You're going to do something because that's kind of like your thing.
I don't think we'll have stuffed artichokes for Thanksgiving. Though I say that my stuffed artichokes are good. So.
See, that's what I'm saying because you've always pointed it out. Daryl was trying to get something you never gave Daryl any. Like how I tied that all together, right?
Well, that's not true.
I'm kidding, John. I'm kidding.
Didn't I once give you?
Nah, you didn't.
No, I asked you for them, and then when Wendy joined the show, then you decided you wanted to bring them, and I didn't want them anymore.
Okay. Leave it to me.
All right.
Leave it to
Hugh,
me.
The instigator.
I'm not instigating, man. I'm just saying. But no, I'm.
Hey, listen, the way this is show is starting to go, I'm going to have my locker cleaned out a little bit.
But no, I'm like for Thanksgiving. I mean, what is the go to dish for you for Thanksgiving? Like, what do you like the thing that you have to have at Thanksgiving dinner? The one dish that when you go, say, if you're going home to your mom or whatever, your wife's cooking, that if it's not there, you have a problem with Thanksgiving.
Probably. Well, you know, I mean, stuffing, yes, but
dressing.
I don't want to get into that
dressing.
Debate.
I'm just saying it's dressing.
I mean, I know that people. It's the one time of the year that I eat green bean casserole, and I like green bean casserole.
I never understood. I do not understand green bean casserole.
I do, but I like it, and it's the one day of the year that I eat it.
I do not understand that.
Artichokes and casserole.
So one day of the year.
You know, and to be fair, artichokes was the first thing that popped in my head when I'm thinking about John freaking cooking because I remember he used to cook the heck out those artichokes.
I still do. You know, I mean, yeah, are you white meat or dark meat? Because I don't like white meat. It's too dry.
I eat it. It doesn't really matter to me. What?
I'm a leg man.
I like thighs, too. I like a nice pair of thighs.
I'm a tugboat man.
Tugboat. What the hell?
That came from Benjamin Button.
But yeah, I think mine is I gotta have that potato salad. potato salad. What's it called? Sweet potato pie. Gotta have that.
You're making me hungry now.
No, I'm just thinking, like, sweet potato. Like, those are, like, for me, during Thanksgiving, it's more of the sweets than anything. It's like the cakes and all the other stuff. Mm-hmm. It's like German chocolate cake, cheesecake, stuff like that. Yeah, I go through those.
Victory would taste pretty sweet for the Hawks tonight because they haven't had one in a while.
I like how you play on words. Hey,
yeah, I'm just trying to, you know, they haven't had one since they beat Miami.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah. That is true.
Couldn't make it work with artichoke.
Well, choke could work. I mean, there's something in there. I probably could if I wanted to. They've lost five in a row, but then Denver's lost four in a row after a 9-1 start. Those two will tee it up tonight in Denver, 8:30 tip. 9 o'clock for the, 9 o'clock tip, 8:30 for the pregame show with Andy Bunker. 9 o'clock tip with Steve Holman on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. If you're looking for Thursday night football for the Pack and Seahawks, that'll be on 1380 WAOK. Last night in the NBA, LeBron passed Wilt Chamberlain into number five all time on the scoring list. So it goes Kareem, Karl Malone, Kobe, Michael Jordan, LeBron James. Now, LeBron's at 31,425. Kareem's at 38,387, which is the all-time leader. So LeBron is about 7,000, a little under, away from Kareem. At age 33, can he get 7,000 more points in a Lakers uniform? One presumes he'll finish with the Lakers. 7,000, that's about 3.5. Well, that would be the end of this year and three more seasons.
Let me say this. This is the one year, and I know it's because, I mean, they're playing on TV a lot. The Lakers are on television a lot. But this is the one year, and I'm glad AT is here because I want to see how he feels about this, but this is the one year that it feels like it's not all about LeBron at this juncture in the year. I mean, even though he's playing well, he's not playing bad, but it just doesn't feel to me like it's all about LeBron because in years past, it felt like everything evolved around what LeBron was doing. Even though Golden State's the defending champion, it felt like LeBron was like all on SportsCenter. Does it feel like that to you, AT?
Yeah, it does. Because what they've done is just shifted everything to the Western Conference, and so LeBron is still the center of attention. He moves the needle in the NBA. The Warriors move the needle as a team. Mm-hmm. LeBron moves the needle as an individual. And so, to answer John's question, yeah, I think he can break the record. I hope he doesn't. And the only reason is because. I long for the old guys from the past, and I'd love to see some of those records stay intact, but records are made to be broken, so it wouldn't surprise me if he does.
You know,
he's been around. He got a jump on everybody because he was able to play straight out of high school.
So did Kobe.
So, yeah, so 3 or 4 years that those other guys either had to go to college or what have you, they could have added similar numbers to their total.
And it's so funny. I was about to bring that up.
Yeah.
You know, Kareem, Lou Alcindor, UCLA, played all 4 years.
Yeah.
At UCLA. Karl Malone played, I believe, all 4 years at Louisiana Tech.
I believe that's right.
And Michael Jordan played all 4 years at North Carolina, right? Did he come out early?
He left after junior season.
Okay, fine. That's fair enough. But still, they lost 3 to 4 years of scoring. You know, you give Michael Jordan 3 more years of scoring, he breaks the all-time record, right?
I mean, or the fact he left the league for, what, 2 seasons?
Oh, and the fact that he left the league for 2 years and played baseball with the Birmingham Barons. Mm-hmm.
So hold up, no disrespect to either one of y'all. So y'all mad at LeBron?
No,
because
no,
he left school.
That has no. Before anybody get it twisted, that,
no,
there's
no.
No,
that's
anger
why I'm asking.
LeBron could play
like,
5 more years than Michael Jordan. Yeah,
that's all we're saying.
I understand that, but I mean, there was a different time, different kind of.
No, we understand that.
Way. We're not arguing.
We're just.
I'm just saying.
Stating facts.
No, I'm just saying. It just sounds, you know, I'm just saying. Then I
look at this list. So LeBron passes Wilt. He's fifth all time. Dirk Nowitzki is seventh, and Dirk Nowitzki is still playing. And I go, oh, that's right. Dirk Nowitzki is still playing. He's like 90, and he's still playing. So there's that.
No, you can rest assured, Hugh, you're the resident contrarian. We're not taking that title from you.
Thank you. Felt a little threatened.
When it comes to the Falcons, I haven't been this excited about getting a guy named Deion on the field since 1989. All right? That's all I'm saying. That's next with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.